You're darn tootin', Sean. Thank you. Thank goodness Jim Wyatt's on the line, because that forces D-Mace not
dang it
to give it to me. He'll have to wait a second.
I'm going
to
wait.
I know you're not going to let it go.
Yeah.
He's going to give it to me next segment. TennesseeTitans.com is where you can find Jim's work. Jim, the kaboom on Thursday evening when everybody learned that A.J. Brown had been shipped out of town. What was your initial reaction when you found out?
Well, I was in Vegas, too. Keep that in mind. So I had actually heard some rumblings early in the day that I firmly believe A.J. Brown was going to be with the Titans, you know, all the way up until Thursday midday. And then that's when I felt like, okay, that maybe this is not going to happen. So I wasn't shocked on Thursday night when it went down. I know the people around me at the draft were, because, you know, the room is just packed with people from all over the country, and that was the buzz. Like, there was so much chatter the minute that hit, and it was the biggest story in Vegas when it happened. And now you just kind of have to regroup and get on with the draft and look for the new storylines. But it was kind of sad a little bit for me, because I like AJ so much. I know the team likes him so much. I felt like the team really tried to make it work with him here, and things just kind of unraveled at the end, and unfortunately it didn't happen.
And then the moving up to get Treylon Burks. What did you make of that pick?
Well, I knew all along the team liked Treylon Burks. I mean, he was a player that they had targeted, player they had spent some time with, felt like, he could be the pick at 26. But then, obviously, with trade and with some other receivers going before then, you're at a point where, you know, if you don't get them then, you're not going to get him. And is he A.J. Brown? No. I mean, and can he turn into a really good NFL receiver? I definitely think so. I mean, I think he's got the skill set. I think he's got, you know, the ability. I think he's got the want to. But it's going to take a lot of work, and certainly, they need to be better around him where there's not so much pressure on him coming in here as a rookie.
Charles Robinson was on Robbie and Rex Road this morning to kick off the final hour, and he talked about overhearing John Robinson at the draft, basically talking about the wide receiver market. And I don't believe the Titans are the only franchise. It's very clear they're not. That a lot of people are not going to be on board for, yes, the market is skyrocketing, right? It's a missile for wide receivers getting paid. But that doesn't mean everybody's going to be on board. And he said he kind of overheard a conversation where that was the first inkling Thursday afternoon. He's like, John Robinson didn't seem to, really be very comfortable with the wide receiver market. What do you make of where it is right now? And do you agree with that there's going to be a lot of teams like, I love you. It's going to be the I love you, but.
Yeah, you still got me there, Darren, because I mean,
gotcha.
My phone just blew. Okay, so I'll say this. I mean, yeah, the Christian Kirk deal is what kind of changed everything. But a lot of that, I have to say, was kind of funny money. I mean, it made it look like it more than what it was. So I don't know that it was as much of a factor as some people made it out to be. But when you see the Tyreek Hill deal and Devontae Adams, you knew it was skyrocketing. With all that said, they were going to pay AJ. I mean, I don't think it was a matter, because I talked to John Robinson at the combine, at the owners' meetings myself, and that's when he really went on record for the first time and said, I want AJ to be a Titan. We love AJ. We want to keep him long term. They were going to keep him here, and they were going to pay him a significant amount of money. Now, this thing kind of got sideways when the money on his end was higher than they had talked about and was significantly higher than what, the Titans were willing to pay him. And I don't want to get into a big he said, she said here, but the money that was being offered was a very fair deal, would have made him one of the highest paid receivers in the league. And I know he has made some comments about what was offered. And I heard you guys talking about maybe the the why there's a difference between the two sides. And the reality is, I think, you know, AJ wasn't talking to the team leading up to the trade. He had cut off communication. His agent was dealing with it. And I think if you've seen the movie Cool Hand Luke, there's a line in there that there's a failure to communicate. And I think that I don't know that AJ was getting the true story from his agent about what was actually being offered from the team. And I think that's why there was maybe a little bit of – I don't think AJ was lying. I just don't know that he knew the full picture and what was being offered exactly.
Do you believe Robert Woods – because now there's going to be a lot of pressure on Woods and Burks moving forward do you believe Woods is going to be ready for the beginning of the season? And I know your opinion, but, you know.
Yeah, I do, because I think the injury was early enough where he's got time to recover. I hate that, you know, when the team signed Robert Woods, I thought, okay, this is going to be great. Robert Woods complimenting A.J. Brown. Things are different now. I mean, now Robert Woods is the veteran leader in that room, and you're bringing in a young guy and trading Burks that's going to that you're counting on early. You're bringing in Kyle Phillips, who I think has a lot of potential in the slot, but he's going to be learning as well. Nick Westbrook-Akina, I think, has been an overachiever. Moore's going to be asked of him. Robert Woods is in a different role than when the team signed him in free agency. I think health-wise, yes. I think he's going to be ready for September, you know, when it kicks off. But, you know, as you guys know, I mean, these ACLs, you kind of get better in time. And we'll just see how much he can progress as the season goes on.
Now, Jim, with that being said, because ultimately, like you said, it changes the dynamics of what they expected of Robert Woods when they brought him in and what they're going to expect of him now. With that being said, should they bring him back relatively slowly? Because if he rushes back for whatever reason, it ends up, you know, having a setback. Now they're stuck with, you know, two rookies and, you know, some guys that haven't played a lot of football in the National Football League.
Yeah, and I do think they'll be careful with them. Like, and again, I'm just projecting here, but I would think that I'd be surprised if he plays the preseason. I would think his first game action is coming in the, you know, the regular season. But, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember. I think his injury was, the ACL was in November.
It was.
So, I mean, if you get to September, I mean, you're talking, that's 10 months, and guys are coming back from ACLs quicker than that. It takes them more time to kind of get back to where they were before. But I think they probably will limit his reps, I would think, during camp. And, again, I'd be surprised if he's played in the preseason. But I think they believe he'll be ready to go when the season starts.
Now, how does the approach of the offense change now with them not having AJ, having, you know, drafting two rookies? Westbrook-Akina, I like him, but he needs more playing time. And then adding a guy in Robert Woods who's learning offense, and they still are not quite sure how he will come back from that ACL. So will this change the dynamic of the offense and how they call the offense, you believe?
Yeah, I think so. And I think obviously adding Austin Hooper, you know, will have something to do with that, because he's going to be a weapon, and just, you know, adding a running back. And, you know, Hassan Haskins is going to change that a little bit. I mean, you've got some different pieces to work with, and maybe you don't have to rely on one guy like you would have with A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And personally, I still think the team, and this is not from talking to the GM or anybody else, I just look at the roster, and I still expect another veteran receiver to be added. Now, when is that? Is that, you know, leading up to the OTAs? Is that, you know, after guys are cut? When roster cuts are made after camp, I don't know. I could just see another veteran be added to the mix just because of the current state of that position. And maybe that affects things a little bit too. But I think a combination of, you know, a lot of different pieces, you know, whether it's rookies, new tight end, new running back with a different skill set, I mean, I think all of that will contribute to maybe a change, a little bit of a change up on offense.
Now, what do you think of the Malik Willis pick? Now, obviously, this is for potentially the future, and they don't expect him to see the field. I don't think anyone really expects him to see the field this year. But moving forward after this year, what do you think their expectation is?
Well, I think that probably the expectation is 2023 if things don't go well with Ryan Tannehill this year. And if Ryan Tannehill plays well and kind of regains his footing, I think 2024. I mean, and the good thing is they have the luxury maybe to wait on him a little bit and let him get more comfortable with being in an NFL offense and the changing, the game changing for him. Maybe they work him in a package and try to take advantage of his skill set some this year. But I don't think there's any. I don't think you're starting camp, as you guys know. This is a quarterback. As looking at this, like, okay, we got a quarterback competition between Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. I mean, I think my thought is that. And again, this is May the 3rd, but I think the Titans probably go into the year with three quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill, Logan Woodside, and Malik Willis, and Willis is to just really patient with him and allow him time to get more comfortable and then just kind of see how things go from there with number 17 and how quickly Malik kind of adjust.
Okay, last thing. The most intriguing pick to you was whom?
I would say.
And why?
I would say probably Roger McCreary with the second round, because I think that's the pick where a lot of people thought maybe you'd address other needs first. So what that does to me is it raises a question of how Caleb Farley's going to be at the start of the year, because you pick Caleb Farley last year in the first round to be a starter and for a starter for years to come. And he's clearly coming off an ACL himself. But I think in the perfect world going into draft, I thought, okay, you get Caleb Farley and Christian Fulton as your starters on the outside. You've got Elijah Molden inside in the slot. You've got Chris Jackson competing in the slot. Well, now you add Roger McCreary. So I think he's a really talented player who can play early. So I think it's intriguing to me, because it opens up a lot of questions about whether Caleb's going to be ready. And if Caleb's ready, who's Roger McCreary? Whose playing time is he taken away? Because he can play. I mean, he's the 35th pick of this draft. A lot of people had him highly rated. So he's not a guy that you're picking to
develop.
Develop. So that's where the intrigue comes from is what they're going to look like now.
Yeah, good stuff. Jimmy, really appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
All right, yep. That is Jim Wyatt. Does a fantastic job. TennesseeTitans.com is where you can find his work. We'll go to Colorado at 11 o'clock. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour next.